We're up to our third and final installment of this topic of the food that is fit for the royal banquet, so to speak, or a fancy meal. That important condition, which by definition is a great leniency that Chazal built in, that any food that is not fit for Shulchan Malachim, despite any other of the other necessary ingredients, no pun intended, to prohibit, if it's missing this one factor in and of itself, we could be lenient. Now, how great a leniency this is, it depends on a lot of things, including most notably the issue we discussed last week. You know, is this a very expansive leniency, which include only things which are really eaten in a very fancy meal, and anything short of that, perhaps we could be lenient on more junk food, things like that. Or is it really something much more minimal and not that helpful? What we said in the name Rabbi Ganak's formulation was just, it excludes a machal garua, anything that's really disgusting. But short of that, if it's even reasonably nice that the Queen of England would have for breakfast, so to speak, even if not at her state dinner, so then perhaps that's all the leniency was. We saw this as a major debate of Schwab and the Chazon Ish about the sardines. Last week, the Queen's sardines and other similar examples, and it seemed to me that most poskim were lenient in this regard. As I say, lenient meaning we had the more expansive definition of the heter. We kind of left off, and it was a perfect segue from one of the questions that was asked last week, which was that even now that we have armed with this information, we have one final piece to the puzzle, and that is the following. There are types of food that can be prepared in many different ways. One can make them in a more hamisha, casual way, or, you know, you can make them in a much fancier way. There are cookbooks that are, you know, salad cookbooks or potato cookbooks, which are, you know, each picture is fancier than the next. And then we know that there are others. In fact, my mother-in-law is in the process of co-editing a cookbook. I believe it's something to the effect of this. Every recipe, it's, you know, five ingredients or less, or something like that, or 5 minutes or less, something like that. Many of the foods overlap. It's just that you could prepare them much quicker, much easier, and less fancy, or much more fancy. So the question is as follows. If we assume, for argument's sake, and we're going to use as a good example for ourselves tonight, potatoes. We saw the argument between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam last week, whether potatoes are ola al shulchan malachim, and it seemed clear that this was really not a debate, but a question of time and place. That in the time of the Chachmas Adam, who lived earlier, potatoes were a new food for the Jews in Europe. They were actually being imported. And by the time the Aruch HaShulchan comes around, not that long ago, over 100 years ago, they're growing them everywhere in Europe. They are, as he refers to them, Michael Poshut, Vidalim, this is the simple food what poor people eat. Ubiquitous, they're everywhere. He says, of course, how could you call this fancy food? And then see, what was the Chachmas Adam oblivious? The answer was it wasn't oblivious. It wasn't true in his day, apparently. So we then said, well, let's say potatoes now. And we even saw from Wozner and many others, we assumed that potatoes certainly can be, right? You can make very fancy potato dishes, fried potatoes, other types of things, which certainly as a side dish or a vorspeise, something like that, could certainly be served at very fancy meals. No doubt about that. Now we have mashed potato bars at certain simchas, so it's certainly there in considered fancy. So let's say you make one of those types of foods. Okay, so then we'll understand that could obviously potentially be a problem of shulchan malachim. But what if you then prepare? What if you prepare the potato in actually a very simple way, in a way that for sure would not be ever on the queen's table? Would you have the following great chumrah and say, well, listen, potatoes could be prepared in such a fancy way, and therefore they are always subject to bishulakum, even if in a specific case they're prepared in a way that is very non-fancy.
This is based on the idea that we're talking about if it fits for a king, it means at
the table. Yes, yeah. Yes, I think so. Okay, well, in theory it's an independent question, but that is the assumption that I'm making. Or do we say that we take each case literally, case by case? You made a baked potato? Baked potatoes are, you know, what you eat at a cookout. Not what you necessarily eat at the king's table. If you made fancy, whatever, so then that'll be the case. But you're not going to be machmir on the baked potato because there's another way to make potatoes from the other cookbook. That's the question for tonight. And it could have a lot of applications. I just mentioned to you one which I didn't put on the sheet, but I could have, which is not as common, but still, rice, what are those called? Rice cakes? Poskim do assume, this is, again, not for tonight, but the Poskim do assume that rice is Ola Shulchan Malachim. But, you know, the rice cakes certainly aren't. So, what do you do? But the one which is the analogous case, which is more practical for us, is potato chips. Good old junk food, potato chips. So, that's going to be our question. So look at the top of your sheet. You have the commentary of the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael is one of the most well-known, relatively recent, when I say relative, I mean, because he didn't live 1,000 years ago. It's only a handful of 100 years ago. Yisrael Lipschitz. So he is one of the great commentaries, recent commentaries on the Mishnayos. If you've ever heard of the Yochanu Voaz Mishnayos, that name comes from his two-part commentary. And you'll see there in my little note, this is the Yochan, which is the longer essays that he has. So in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah, which is exactly where these Gemaras take place that are, we're learning. So on those Mishnayos, in his little 50-second note there, he has the following. He's just, this is his opening comment about Bishalakim. And he makes the statement, which we're about to read, very matter-of-factly. It's almost, you know, oblivious to the fact that it might be something controversial, for example. And he says the following. Bishalakim, what does that mean? Hainu, kol shenis bashalai deyakim. Anything that is cooked by a non-Jew, and then where I... skipped, he says, well, it's baked, or it's fried, or it's roasted, it's cooked by the non-Jew. And then he adds the following, as I say, almost just matter-of-factly. Fadafk inmhu mimin sha'ola al-shalcham alachim. But it's only going to be prohibited if it's from the type of food which could be at the royal banquet. Afilu hu atzmo eino ola. Even if the particular food in question would not go on the royal table, but it's a type of food that could have been prepared in such a way that it could have gone. Kagon, shehabasar kachush, obene me'ayim, uchadoma. He gives examples of cheaper, less fancy types of meats. He says, but nevertheless, they are still going to be potentially included in the category because meat, obviously as a general category, is certainly going to be a fancy delicacy. So he assumes... Again, as I say, just matter-of-factly, a very machmir position. He assumes that anything that is categorized, right, or it's reminiscent of biology, right, the genus and the species, and right, so that'll beg the question, how do you classify, right? We have this term min, the species, in other forms of halakha. You'll remember from the Basar Bacholov days that when two things get mixed up, so depending on how we evaluate how you can nullify and stuff, there's a more and less stringent. One of the categories that we described is min bimino. Is it two types of the same food that got mixed up? Min b'she'enu mino. By definition, when we were discussing milk and meat, so by definition, those are two different species of foods, milk and meat. But what if you had kosher meat and non-kosher meat? So there's all sorts of discussions, and this is a detail which, in theory, we could debate if you had to question the applicability. Namely, there's a discussion, right? Chicken and meat. Is that one min or two min? What about dark meat and white meat? Ask somebody who doesn't eat white meat. They'll have one answer. Right? So this is discussed in that context. I didn't see it discussed in Bishalakum, but in theory, if we're with a Paskin, which we're just starting this year now, but if we Paskin like this, Tiferes Yisrael, so then when it comes to push, you know, push comes to shove, we would have to perhaps know what is considered a mean. And maybe we'll have the same definition as in other areas, or maybe it would be a unique Bishalakum definition. But bottom line is, he says anything that can be in the same mean, the same species, if it could be prepared in such a way that is fancy, then even though the particular food in question is not so fancy, we're still going to be machmir. Okay, that's his opinion. There is a tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein. There are others as well, perhaps, but maybe one of the earlier tshuvas, sources that seem to disagree and take the other approach, is from Rav Moshe. And this tshuva was written as a response to an earlier tshuva. You'll note on the top that this is in the fourth volume of his tshuvas on Yoredeya. But you see in the first line, he begins his comments now, Bedover mash he'arta al tshuvasi. He's responding to the questioner who had sent in comments and questions about an earlier tshuva. The Igros Moshe Yardei Chelek Beis. Two volumes earlier, Moshe had published the tshuva, and now this, now he's writing a second tshuva on the same topic to deal with questions that were sent to him. What was the topic of the tshuva? What's the topic in question? Certain issues relating to the kashrus of bagels. Bagels. Hamish, a Jewish food. Bagels. So, I didn't put down the original tshuva, because the point that's relevant for us is the one that he makes here. So he starts off by pointing out, the questioner had made a point of reference about a statement Rav Moshe made. Rav Moshe basically acknowledges, he says here after the ellipse, in the emes, she'esham tosbut was, you're right, what you pointed out, that there was something incoherent in my earlier tshuva, you're right, because it was actually a typo, a printing error. But tzarech liyot, what should it have said? Quote, referring to the bagels, he's talking here about the process, right? You know how bagels are made. They take the little dough that they've now made into the form of a bagel, and they put it into these boiling hot water vats, if that's the right word exactly. So his comment was, quote, Poshat Lene Statir, Moshe is now saying, again, this is what it should have said in the original Shuva, Mekevan Shehabishul Ketsas Al Yedei Mayim HaRodchim, since the cooking, it's done, there's a basic cooking that's done through this boiling water, Lo Haisa Haisa Ru'uya La'achila, without which it would not be edible, Lo ne'esra mitzad bishalakum. So he has a leniency about the bagels, which are not so important for us. That has to do with the royal achila, which was a topic we could have discussed this tshuva if I knew about it. I didn't know about it, that's why I didn't mention it. A few weeks ago when we were discussing the issue of what's called, quote, ne'echal chai, the whole issue that if it can be edible raw, so then we have a more of a leniency, be that as it may. I just give you this introduction. The main thing is that Rav Moshe was only discussing the bagels from that vantage point. How edible is it? What does the boiling do? Not doing. But then the questioner made another point, which Rav Moshe again acknowledges, and this is the underlying part, and this is what's relevant for us. Gam tzodek es ta'anoscha. He says, you are right to the one who wrote him the letter. She'afilu im kishnes basho hayaroyal achila. And even if you'll tell me that by the cooking, that does make it royal achila. And if that cooking is done by a non-Jew, that should make it a problem. Nevertheless, mipchinas iser bishalakam eino nesar. It still would be permissible, and it still would not be bishalakam. Shari ein haderech ha'olam le'acholokach. No one eats the bagel, right? They after they take it out of that boiler thing. That's what we've all seen in the, you know, in the if you're in an actual bagel shop where you've seen it made. I grew up in Cincinnati. They had an incredible, very, very Hamish, a very successful bagel shop there, and you could see why they were putting them in the oven and taking them out of the oven. Right, that boiling vat is just the first step. I technically, maybe they're edible. That was the issue that Rav Moshe was discussing. But it doesn't matter. No one eats them in between those two stages. Ubetach, for sure, eino ola kach al shulchan malachim. If you would freeze it in time at that point, obviously you wouldn't have said that that bagel is ola al shulchan malachim. Now, what is Rav Moshe coming to preclude? What was the point? The bottom line is, bread or different types of breads, which is essentially what a bagel is, certainly those are potentially ola shacham alachim. You could have all sorts of breads on the table. Of course you have bread on the table. What's Rav Moshe saying? But bagels, again, whether he would think a bagel when it's fully cooked is ola shacham alachim, I don't know. But his point here is, in the middle stage, even if you'll assume it's edible, but at that point, it's certainly not ola shacham alachim. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, you would have said, maybe, but the min, the species, bread, is Olah Shocham Malachim. So you're not going to have that leniency. And yet Rav Moshe rejects that. Rav Moshe is saying, no, we don't go by what bread could have been. We go by this case. And in this case, how is it being cooked now? When it's, they take those bagels out of the boiler, even if you assume they're edible, which was his first point, they're probably not. Even if you assume they're edible, but they're certainly not going to be brought out for a fancy meal at that point. So that is essentially making the opposite assumption of the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael was saying, listen, assuming it's edible, even if it's very, very basically edible, but if it's the type of food that could have been made in such a way that's fancy, we're going to be machmir even here. And Rav Moshe is obviously rejecting that, because Rav Moshe, even though bread, again, this partially relates to the detail I mentioned to you before, do you look at bagels and bread as one mean? But I think contemporary writers do. And you may even argue, again, you may even argue this might be a cultural issue, that bagels themselves, maybe they are Olah Shacham Lachem, I don't know. But certainly bread is. That's obvious. Right, rolls, right? They're on the table at every type of meal, of course. So if you're assuming that bread and bagels are all the same mean, which I'm assuming, so then you have a debate here, because Rav Moshe is clearly arguing, because he's saying that this particular case, this is not edible. Okay, I see some blank looks. Who is not following? You can raise your hand. It's okay. We're an intimate group.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
So a guy could do the first step of the bagels, but not the second step of the bagels?
Well, again, this is a lot of these topics overlap. This was asked to me last week also. We'll save that for future weeks. Again, in future weeks, we'll discuss, even if it's shulchan malachim, and it's this, and every other potential problem, we know there's a heter that if a Jew is involved. So the question is, how involved must a Jew be? So that obviously relates a little bit to this, to the actual point that Rav Moshe was originally making. But that's not our point tonight. Our point tonight is that Rav Moshe seems to assume you have one type of food, bread, whether you call it a bagel or a roll. So do you say, well, since bread could be baked in a way that would be suitable for a king, even though this half-baked bagel may be edible, but so, therefore, because it could have been made bread, and therefore on the it's the same species, we're going to even be machmir about it. I think that Tzvartzal would say yes.
But we don't know for sure. He's talking about the same inn, that's true. And you're saying whether it's half-cooked or not half-cooked,
right,
it's considered the same inn. But do we know that he would say this about a half-cooked food?
Well, you'll get, yeah, the answer is yes.
Moshe is not referring to if it's the same min or not. I mean,
No. Correct. But we're analyzing Rav Moshe now.
Okay. How do we know that Tiferes Yisrael would say this about a half-cooked food?
It's again, the point, assuming that it's edible, what's the difference? Now, we learned, and we're going to review it again tonight and shortly, but we already learned when we discussed the whole issue of edibility. That's a word, right? We have a category from Hilchos Shabbos, from other areas, of what's called machal ben drusai, or one-third cooked. So this is certainly that. Okay? So everyone understand, right now we have a debate. I gave you the example, which is perhaps easier to understand, of the potato chips, but it's a broader debate, which here we're applying to the issue of breads. Do you say that if a food was cooked, whether it's fully cooked, but in a very casual way, or partially cooked, but still edible, is that sufficient to say, well, since it could have been cooked more fully or more fancy in a way that made it ola al shulchan malachim for the royal table, therefore we're going to prohibit even this, even though obviously this is not that fancy? That would be the Tiferes Yisrael. And Rav Moshe, again, in response to the question that was sent to him, agreeing, apparently saying, no, we look at it as is now. As it is now, no one would possibly eat that in a fancy place. It could have been baked in a different way. We don't care. We look at it as now. By analogy, again, we're going to get to this in a bit anyway, but by analogy, just to bring it back, like our potato chips question. Who cares that you could have made the same potato into a different fancy dish? You didn't. You made it into a potato chip. And if you make it into a potato chip, if we assume that that's not a fancy thing, then it should be okay. I think according to Moshe, we would expect that conclusion to follow. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, we might not expect that to follow. Now, one of the people who discusses this more head-on is, again, from the essay we've quoted quite a few times from Rabbi Ganak of the OU. And I have that here again for your third source. And Rabbi Ganak and the OU take a very strong position on this. They do not equivocate. V'hinei, nira, debedin ze shel eina ola al shulchan malachim. This whole issue. Lo mistaber lomer sheis b'ze inyan shel kviyas minim. It doesn't make any sense to say we're going to establish a, quote, species and say, oh, potatoes? They're all going to be Olah Shach Malachim. So this doesn't make any sense. What would you say? Shemin dag ploni, this type of fish, mikri Olah Shach Malachim. This is considered suitable for a royal meal. Umin amoni and another type of fish, mikri eina ola, another one doesn't. You wouldn't make such a thing. After all, he says, "Demidivrei haRambam," and we'll see this Rambam subsequently. Mitbayer, it's clear. Shegeder hadin ze toli b'chol makom u'makom ukufim in hago. We go based on what they do, where they do it. We don't make these absolute rigid categories. Yes, this species, no, this species. We take each case. We have already that. We established that last week. We've seen this in other sources. She'osa ha-machal, it is possible, as strange as it sounds, that the very same food, yochlios osa rabbinina achas, mishum bishalakum, in one place it'll be prohibited, b'nei she'shamhu olal shalcham lachem, because in that place it is considered a royal food, right? We discussed, let's say, like a tortillas in Mexico, maybe falafel in Israel. Before sushi became a big Western food, it was still fancy in Eastern countries, but now maybe even in our countries. We know we can have one food, which is usher in one place, and yet, in another place, in another country, another time, it'll be okay. Because we go by time and place, we fluctuate. And if that's the case, says Rabbi Ganek, last two lines, it's underlined, imkein lo mistaber lo mer, it doesn't make any sense. Shegeder davar zehu inyan shel kviyas min, that we go by establishing a stat, we're giving a status to an entire species of food. Rather, he says, shehadavar taloi b'chol ma'achal u'ma'achal b'fnei atzma, we go by each food in and of itself. Im zemachal b'pertus, if this specific food, olihi al shochem alachim olo. He says, if you assume, we'll add in, like the first source, the Tiferes Yisrael, that we go based on the min, then the idea that you could distinguish between time and place wouldn't make any sense. If we said, how do you decide the min then? Again, in theory, you could counter, well, we decide the min in each time and place. In China, all fish are ola because they're even willing to eat them. But in America, if you're going to have an establishment of a category, he assumes, and I think certainly, again, it's not, it's a logical argument, and that's why he used the word mistaber twice. I think he's right. It is logical. It would not be logical to say that you could have an establishment of a category It would not make any sense to say you could establish a category of an entire food being yes or no, but yet that subject to different places. The fact that we go based on different places, the tortilla in Mexico, yes, but not in America, so to speak, that indicates, he says, that really what we're doing is we have to look at each case. And if we look at each case, it doesn't make sense to say, well, since potatoes could have been made, but they... Yes?
This doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Because the whole thing is looking at each time and place, so you can't categorize. You could categorize either by... It's a formal food, it's not a formal food, it's a type... I mean, what
a formal food, in what context?
You make all these categories. Say time and place, obviously...
So I'm saying, so you're saying, again, that I think this is the only option if you choose to take it. The only option, I think, against what he's saying would be to say, we do establish species, but we establish that at a specific time and place.
Right.
So if at a specific time and place, potatoes can be made fancy, then in that time and place, all potatoes are a problem. Okay. Apparently the Tiferes Yisrael or anyone who argues would have to say that. He thought, again, and my personal inclination is that he's right, is that that's a very difficult tightrope to walk. That it makes more sense, more consistent, that the fact that we go by time and place, that is indicative of a larger fact, which is that we don't try to categorize things, but rather we take them...
Oh, so he wasn't saying we're not categorizing. He's saying because you look at time and place, by looking at time and place, you're looking at every food individually.
He's saying that indicates that we're not going. Saying he puts that points in that direction.
We have categories of edible raw.
That's not a category. That's a fact. We go by each food and we ask, is it? Again, a category means that if it can somehow fit into this, even though the potato chip is not olal shalcham alachem in and of itself, but because it's part of the category called potatoes, we're going to be machmir on it. You don't have an analogous situation when it comes to edible or not edible raw. Because potatoes could have been cooked in such a way, therefore if this one is edible raw, it's going to be mocked. We don't say that.
I don't see how that's not any more weird than, well, because tuna can be eaten raw in New York, then it's okay in 2005.
No, it'll be okay in New York, but it won't be okay in... I'm saying, we go by, when it comes to the issue of raw, we go by each time and place. We don't categorize. We don't say, if you had the cat, again, his assumption is that you can't give a status to the species of tuna or salmon, to use the fish examples. If you're going to give a status to the food, then that is, so to speak, going to transcend Chinese-American borders. The food, tuna, should either be a problem, all or nothing. And the fact is, we don't say that. No one assumes that we say that. Everyone assumes, and again, in theory, that's what I said, 15, 20 years ago, or 10 years ago maybe, one could have said, if you go to China, exactly what he said, in the same thing in two different places, except two different halachas. That we do assume that. So his point is that, again, it's not explicit, but I think it's very much on the mark, that totally mitigates against an assumption that we're categorizing the food. Because if we were categorizing the food, then it's hard to imagine that how the food could be have different halachas in different places. So if we're not categorizing the food, what's the fallback assumption? Is the fallback assumption must be that we take each case individually. It depends which question we're asking. Are we asking the question of is it edible raw or not? That's one kind of question. Are we asking the question, is this the kind of food that's eaten on a fancy place? So that's a different kind of a question. Okay, it's not a direct thing. It's not the 1 + 1 therefore 2. That's not what he's saying. Maybe he's even slightly overstating his case, so I'm just repackaging. But I think the basic point what he's trying to make is that it's a question of the halacha's pointing in a direction. The halacha's pointing in a direction of not fixating categories. That's his argument. We'll see other examples of this. And many poskim make this similar argument. And the poskim use as an example the following. If you look, the Ramah below, this just is an example. He talks about, I'm not exactly sure, these are types of legumes and stuff. These are types of kitnios. I'm not exactly sure what they are. He refers to umutar le'echol ofanim kluyim. And if you shell or you peel these types of things, from an ovokal chavim, v'chein kitnios, shekoren arbishin, right? I guess that's arbis, I guess, right? I guess it's arbis. Why, he says, despite whatever they did, te'einan ola al shalcham alachem. The Ramah talks about this type of food, which is not ola al shalcham alachem. Yet, the post can point out, the Ramah was assumingly based on the Rambam. But if you look in the Rambam, the next source, the Rambam himself refers to these types of things, pulin, v'ofanin, v'edashim, right? All these types of beans and stuff, uchadiyotsu behen, sheshok and osam ha'akum, that are somehow cooked or soaked or something like that by the non-Jew, umochar some, and then he sells them. The Rambam paskind, asur mivnei b'shul ha'akum. It's used as some kind of whetting the appetite in certain cultures. And therefore, even though it doesn't sound like the fanciest food, it was used, it's like a sorbet type of thing, I guess, or I don't know. It was used in the context of fancy meals. So, the same types of foods, the Rambam had said they are olah shalcham alachem, and then the Rambam said they're not. The answer is, says Rabbi Ganakin, again, he's not the only one who says this, it's presumably the same thing as what we saw with the potatoes last week. In the Rambam's time and place, these were used in a certain way that were Ola Shalchem Alachem. The Ramah is telling you that in his time and place, they weren't Ola Shalchem Alachem. But we don't give certain categorization which would somehow be, again, a status in the food. We say, listen, we're going to take each case by itself. That is, again, in sum, the Rabbi Ganak, OU, and again, really it's others, argument. However, despite the strong argument made, at least when it comes to generally and specifically potato chips, it's not the only position. And another then, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky argued. Rav Yaakov al ha, you see that? Al potato chips. Everyone see the potato chips? In case you were worried about the spelling. Says Rav Yaakov al potato chips, yesh din bishalakum. There is a problem bishalakum on potato chips. And even though, come on, does anyone really have potato chips on the royal table at the banquet? Hamin shell potato ole. Since you could have prepared the very same potato, if you sliced it a little thicker, putting a little this and a little that and a little oregano and a little this, you could have had a fancy potato dish. Instead, you made it potato chips, but we're machmir on the potato chips. That they could be a problem of bishulakum, because they're from the same species of food, they're potatoes. Then he has another example, salamis. Right, salami, I guess, is a more casual Hamish food. Nevertheless, yesh isra bishulakum, came in the min basar ola. It's the same meat, it's just prepared a little differently. But if meat is ola, then all meats are ola. And then he gives the example, this relates now to what Sima asked before, question of things not being fully cooked. It says, V'yesh, l'havi ra'il, as I said, I'll give you a proof. Mi baser shenis bashel, rak kamachal ben drusai. What about a case where you have food that is only partially cooked? Sha'osr mishum bishalakum. If we assume that that's prohibited mishum bishalakum, hayne below gamru ade Yisrael. That's next week's topic. I don't want to get into that. What if a Jew participates again, how that can help. But assuming that it's just cooked and we stop right there, we freeze it in time, right? We're going to eat it. Machal ben drusai means it's edible, you know, not it's not pleasurably edible, but it's edible. And if that minimal cooking was done by a non-Jew, it is a problem. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, if it's only been cooked one-third, are you going to tell me that, you know, certain things are dafka meant to be, you know, rare, right? We're not talking about that, though. He says, even though this is, can't be that good, it's just, right, machal ben drusai means it's nechal adei tchak. You could swallow harder, it'll get it down. It's barely edible. You're not going to get sick from it. So if we're machmir on that, says Rav Yaakov, that is indicative of the opposite of Rabbi Ganak's conclusion. That's indicative of the fact that, obviously, as long as, in theory, it could have been made olal shocha malachim, even though in this particular case you didn't, we're going to be machmir, i.e. we go by the min. Min potato, min basar. Whether, again, it's not exactly the same thing. Again, it's your perception before is astute. Again, this issue of how much it's cooked versus if it's cooked fully but cooked in a casual way, those are not the exact same thing. But the poskim are drawing analogies back and forth. Now, the truth is, let's look at this. What is his proof? His proof was from the Shulchan Aruch. It's not so simple, and I'll show you why in a moment. And again, I'm surprised that it hasn't been pointed out by many, but it's really interesting. Rav Yaakov, again, he's not the only one, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch. So if you turn over to the top of the next page, this is the Shulchan Aruch, there is such a concept. Im bishlu ovdei kochavim. If the non-Jew cooks the food, kema'achal ben drusai, you know, again, just barely, he makes it one-third cooked, v'gomor Yisrael, even if a non, if again, leave aside this issue for now, I don't want to be distracted by it, yesh la'esor, it can be prohibited. And then he has a certain heterim, if it's Erev Shabbos, or Erev Yantif, have some merubah, it'll be a great loss if you have to throw it out, whatever the case may be. The bottom line is, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was quoting the Shulchan Aruch, that showed that if you barely cook it, which obviously is not going to be the nicest way to eat it for the king, it could still be a problem. What is fascinating, though, is that that's only true according to the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah says, in five little words, v'yesh matirin b'chalinyin v'chein noagin. There's a whole other school of thought that rejects, and the Ramah seems to see this as definitive. So, it's hard to understand. Again, I guess Rav Yaakov was just ignoring the Ramah. Or at least he felt that it was indicative of an approach, which Mikra Deni thought you should be machmir-like. Rav Yaakov's proof is only from the Shulchan Aruch. It could very well be that the reason that the Ramah is lenient is because he rejects the whole principle. Maybe, right, the Ramah holds like the OU, so to speak. Right, that we don't say that if it's barely edible, it's olal shocham olachem, because it could have been cooked longer. Everyone follow, or do I need to repeat it? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's proof that potato chips are a problem is because we have this case on the books where if you cook something only barely, it could still be a problem. And Rav Yaakov's deduction was the following, his rationale was the following. If you're cooking it only barely, obviously that's not cooking it so fancy. If we're still going to be machmir, it must mean that the reason is we don't look at the particular food you cooked now or the way you cooked it now. We look at the general category. And if the general category is the roast, you're supposed to cook the roast for 4 hours, you only cooked it for an hour and a quarter. But the category of meat is olal shocham olachim, and in your case, so he assumes, Rav Yaakov, that that's analogous to potato chips. Again, it's not the exact same thing because potato chips are fully cooked. They're cooked well done. But the point is, in both cases, the specific food in question itself, the way it was prepared today, right now, the way this food was prepared, it wasn't that fancy. But we're still machmir, says Rav Yaakov, because it's a type of food that could have been prepared a little longer or a little differently, and then it would have been fancy.
Why is it not that what's going to happen afterwards? I assume this has to do with, okay, so you've got a one-third, and what happens after this?
No.
Say it cooks one-third, and that's it. That's the end of the cooking. It's not going to cook again.
That's what Rav Yaakov said. Look what Rav Yaakov said. Hainu below gamru aide Yisrael. Even if it's not completed. You'll tell me it's mutter because...
I mean, not finished by
correct.
Yid or not finished at all?
Huh?
Is he saying not finished by Yid or not finished
well,
at all?
Well, if it's completely cooked, then it's not a case of Macha Madrasai. Mm. It's completely cooked.
Macha Madrasai, two different people cooking at two different times. Whatever.
Well, if it's that kind of question of two different people, if it's two different non-Jews, it's a fully cooked by a non-Jew. The point is, it's a little complicated, so don't feel bad. I'm trying to explain it. Maybe I'm not doing a good job. The point is as follows. You have the little food in front of you. Now, when you look at the food now, for any one of a number of reasons, this might not be the fanciest food. Mm-hmm. One reason is because it's just the nature of the food. It's junk food. Another reason might be because it wasn't prepared adequately. If we're machmir in that case of not being prepared adequately, so Rav Yaakov's rationale is as follows. Right now, you're looking at that one-third cooked roast, way too rare for any of us. But yet, technically, halakhically, it's considered cooked, it's edible. If you're going to be machmir on that, the only reason, again, I'm not saying that there could have been other reasons, but what he's saying is, the only reason must be that we don't look at just what's in front of you. I'm telling you, look what's in front of you. Don't look what's in front of you, said Rav Yaakov. Have a broader vision. The broader vision is, this is roast. Could roast be prepared in a way that's very fancy? You betcha. And therefore, since it could be olal shochem olachem roast, then, right, we have like a big board. We check roast, and we put that into the olal shochem olachem category. Then any roast that's ever cooked by a non-Jew, even if it's cooked in such a way that is not so well done, well, tarti mashma here, not fully cooked and not so nicely done. So what? As long as it's edible and it's roast, we look at the board. The board says, Ola shecha v'lachem, it's a problem. That's Rav Yaakov's argument.
So he's 100% according to Tiferes Yisrael.
Again, that's the assumption, exactly right. Which is also based on Tiferes Yisrael. We don't go based on what's in front of you. We see what category it fits into and we judge the category. And if the category is judged l'chumra, because it could have been done l'chumra, it could have been made better, right? If you'd only looked Susie Fishbein's cookbook and not the other cookbook, it would have been good. So if that's the case, right, we define the category based on the top-level cookbooks. If in the top-level cookbooks this food could have been done in such a way, then we put the whole food in that category. And if you're a shlomil or shlomazel and you cook it in a way that's still not olah shalcha malachim, or should I say not you, your maid, your whatever, your co-worker, whoever, the non-Jew, so then it doesn't matter. It's still a problem because we don't go by what's in front of you, which of course would not, even in this case, not be going on the king's banquet, but because it's part of a category of food which would. That's the machmir argument.
So beef jerky would be a problem because beef could be, in fact,
exactly right. Exactly. Same thing as potato chips. Exactly right. Exactly. As opposed to what we've seen so far from Rabbi Ganak, or even Rav Moshe Feinstein about the bagels, who says, no. What's that got to do with, if you'll cook it fancy, we'll talk then. Here you have a bagel that's barely edible. Technically it is edible, yeah, but you wouldn't serve that on Shulchan Malachim like that. Potato chips, you could have taken the same potatoes, cut them a little thicker, cooked them a little differently. Who cares? You didn't. It's not the land to make believe. We go by what's in front of us. There's no categorization. That's the two schools of thought. Okay? Now, what makes this slightly more complicated, I know you guys are grasping this so well, so I can take this to another level now, is that until now we have assumed that Rav Moshe Feinstein, right, his tshuva was about bagels, but the logical extension of his bagel tshuva was that he would have been lenient about potato chips. So look at the next source. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Bedover, potato chips. A different spelling, right, than the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Potato chips. So first of all, he was asked a number of questions. So what bracha do you make on potato chips? So that's what he says. Good for you. Right, okay, I was about to say that he must not have been holding by Pringles, Rav Moshe. Says, Tzarech Levarach Bar Pri Adama. You make a bar pri adama on potato chips. Sheish lo din nikar apri. You can see what it comes from. You can see it looks like a potato. Obviously, the color changed a little bit because you deep fried it in oil. Plenty of oil, we all know. So what? It's still a pri adama. Ach, so he was at, again, the question was, basically, can you go to the ball game and just buy potato chips? That's the second question that he was asked. Or do you need a hechsher on the potato chips? He says, ach, tzarech leida. He goes, it's not enough, though, to just say, oh, it's potato chips, great. Tzarech leida shnei spashel b'shem and kosher. But what's the oil? If it's an animal oil, it's going to be treif. You need to know that it was cooked, fried, I should say, in a kosher oil. Im hayedihu ay de hashkachas adam yarei shemayim. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad, thank you. Usser. But if it's not known, if you don't know how it was cooked, you can't just assume that they were using kosher vegetable oil or something. Period. Fine, now, underlined part. So now, third question. What about the problem of bishalakum? Im yesh behu bishalakum, about the potato chips. So first of all, kashia dua shuhu b'shuman kosher, right? If you don't know that it's made with kosher oil, it's something to talk about. But even if you know that it's made with kosher ingredients, kosher oil, im hayidia hu ayide hashkachas adam yerei shamayim, right? You see the OU, the star K, the chaf K, whatever. You have a good, reliable hashkacha on the bag. Says Rav Moshe, yesh lismoch shagam al zem hashkiach lesakein shlo yaser midin b'shalakim. You can assume that what that OU implies, what that star K implies, is that not only was the ingredients kosher, but it was not a problem of bishalakum. But if, bottom line is, there was no mashgiach, or there was no mashgiach on that point, and it was actually cooked by a non-Jew, ein b'zehet der barer, you could really have a problem. It's like all these things that are made in factories. He doesn't tell you what they are. He goes, there are certain leniencies that are out there, and many people are mekel. Because if you see people eating these things, you shouldn't make a taram, you know, and shagets, treif. You shouldn't do that, Rav Moshe. Okay. So, bottom line though, what does Rav Moshe really, really think?
He thinks that
potential. He doesn't use those words. He's not even talking about that. But the bottom line is, he thinks that they're potentially subject to bishalakum. He must assume that they are subject to bishalakum, like his good friend Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. The problem with that is not per se that it's a chumra, that bothers him enough, but that's not the problem. The problem is that at least logically, this seems to be in contradistinction to the first tshuva by Rav Moshe. Because again, unless you want to think, you know, unless he assumes that the kings and the queens are eating potato chips, which mustama he's not. Right, which he was a sardine man. So then, how can you square this tshuva Rav Moshe with his leniency regarding bagels? Look, or it's a question on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's tshuva about the bagels was assuming when he said he was lenient, because even though they come out of that boiler, even if you'll say they're edible, but no one would eat them on the royal table at that point. But the min bagel, or min bread, which I prefer to use, that certainly is olah shacham olachem. You saw from that tshuva Rav Moshe that he said, don't look at the big picture. Look at what's in front of you. What's in front of you now is not what is all that you go by.
But he sounds like he really loves potato chips.
That's not the point. You can love
potato chips. No, but I'm saying, you don't think that, isn't it possible that he would say, okay, potato chips are olah shacham olachem, and he's not looking?
No. If he's being machmer, it's because he assumes that even though potato chips themselves aren't ola, but they're potatoes, and potatoes are ola.
He's not holding that. He's not holding it. Look at the big picture.
No, I think in this tshuva he seems to be. But that seems to be in conflict with what we first saw from him. That's my point. That's the problem. No, he doesn't say this. I don't think there's, again, it's much more likely than what you're suggesting. He's assuming that it's a problem, so the question is why. So you could take your assumption, but I think that is very radical. That potato chips themselves, you know, can be likely found at a, on bone china near you. But it's much more likely, that's too radical. It's much more likely that he's a holding like Rav Yaakov. That true potato chips themselves aren't, but potatoes are. So, but and if that's the case, then this tshuva, l'chora, is against the first tshuva. Yes. So I saw in an article by a fellow from Chicago a few years ago named Rabbi Moshe Rosenstein. Right, he gets right to the heart of it. What's the topic? Are potato chips subject to the prohibition of Bishlakim? Very direct title for an article on this subject. So he, in a footnote, is very bothered by these apparent contradiction in Tshuva's of Moshe. So he makes the following distinction, and it's worth knowing that he, in this, the thesis of his article, is to try to claim that there is this third way of looking at the whole sugya. And he happens to claim, or wants to attribute his third way to Rav Moshe. Now, so, again, he has a vested interest in saying this, but again, I don't quote this to you as being definitively correct, but at least possibly correct. So again, the question is, why should you be makel on the bagels and not look at the big picture, and apparently be looking at the big picture when it comes to the potato chips? Nevertheless, a rather simple distinction between the case might be suggested. Boiled chunks of bagel dough are surely not to be considered kreplach, just a little thicker, nor thick pasta. In other words, that was, again, I'm giving you a little bit of a footnote in the middle of a 30-page article. He's saying that when you would have potentially been machmir on bagels, you would have said the following: listen, kreplach are certainly served, again, maybe not at the king, but at least at Hamish, a fancy way. Or pasta could be certainly served at any king's meal. So pasta, what is pasta? Pasta is dough prepared in a certain way. What's bagel? Dough prepared in a certain way. Aren't those essentially the same min? Just a little thicker, just a little thinner. So he says, no. Boiled chunks of bagel dough are surely not to be considered kreplach, just a little thicker, or a thick pasta. It is a different food altogether, with different ingredients in the dough, and a different constitution entirely. When it comes to the similarity between oil-fried potatoes found at fancy dinners, i.e., right, the kosher palate way of fancy making a fancy potato dish, and potato chips, this is not at all the case. We are dealing with the exact same food in the exact same cooking process, the only difference being that the chip is sliced to a thinner width.
You don't buy
certain types of potatoes. Dishes, certainly you could.
But like very nice potatoes, not necessarily fried.
His assumption, he makes this point that he says that the kosher agencies that he spoke to all sorts of mashkichim and caterers, that they do treat fried potatoes as olal shochem
lachem. You could cut, like, sliced potatoes thick and fry them up with spices.
I would say that if you're saying the same thing, that implies that, you know, you have to make potatoes.
So his resolution to Rav Moshe is based on a following third position, which again is his particular thesis in this article, namely, that it's not just the two extremes, the little picture or the big picture. Do we just look at the food in front of you, or do we look at the whole category of the species of food? Rather, he says, we look at a combination of the type of food and the process of cooking. If we, in combined, can essentially see the two foods on a continuum, i.e., it's really the same thing, just prepared a little differently. So then we're going to be machmir, even if the particular continuum point we're on now is not so ola, but that's just on a continuum of something that really could be ola. But if you look at it and say it's so radically different that there's not the same continuum, they're on two different planes entirely, so then we'll be lenient. And he wants to suggest that that's why Rav Moshe can be lenient when it comes to bagels, because that's radically different. Certainly the bagel that's just coming out of the boiler, than any other bread or even doughy product, which is nice, on the one hand. On the other hand, potatoes, he thinks, are essentially just a point on the continuum. You cut them a little thicker, you cut them a little thinner, you fry them, you bake them, to make you happy. It's all the same thing. It's just the same food prepared slightly differently. And potatoes, we know, happen to be one of those things. I mean, you know. Now, it happens to be, I want to point out, from a culinary palate perspective, from the perspective of condiments, there can be very big differences. Right, does anyone ever, you know, have mustard on potato chips? All right, but what would you eat with potato knish? Many of us eat mustard. French fries? Ketchup. Right, so to me, even though they're all just potatoes prepared a different way, right, you eat them very, very differently. Now, I've always wondered why that's the case. I don't have an answer. But, and this is coming from someone who's actually thought about something like this. But, again, to him, that wouldn't matter. It's all one min. Now, let's just conclude with the two basic bottom lines. Where we stand. So we already saw from the OU that presumably they're going to be Makel. The Star K, we saw this last week, but I repeat it to you. This was when the Star K had the White House, right? The Star K behind him called the White House chef. And they asked him about canned cranberry sauce. No. That was last week's. And potato chips. What did the White House chef respond? We never served potato chips. And in fact, the Star K assumes that...
But then there's a question. They don't serve potato chips, but do they serve potatoes?
No, so... I'm like, oh, so Rabbi Heinemann assumes because of that, that you can be Makel, i.e., that we don't go by the big picture, so to speak. We go by the... And just to give you the final summary, you have here down below, from the Halacha Berurah, the poskim discuss the case of a food that is considered suitable for a royal table when prepared in one manner, but would not be suitable when prepared in a different manner. A common example is potato chips. Some poskim maintain that potato chips cooked by a goy are prohibited, that obviously should be prohibited, since there is a concern of Bishul Akum with regards to potatoes. For potatoes can be prepared in a manner that would be suitable for a royal table. However, most poskim maintain that there is no problem, since the potato chips undergo a completely different process in their preparation, and they are not fit to be served at a royal table. Now, this little pamphlet is written by a very young fellow, but it's based on the Pesachim of Rav Belsky. Rav Belsky, again, not surprisingly, he holds, like Rabbi Ganak, that's the OU position. It's worth noting, as this fellow in the Rabbi Rosenstein mentions, virtually every major kosher organization, at least in America, is makel on this question. The one that he said he dug up that is machmir is Breuer's. K-A-J. Hashkacha. They assume that potato chips need to be cooked by a Jew, and whatever that means. So it's worth noting that Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he made the point that if you see a reliable hashkacha, you can assume that they didn't just make sure that the oil is kosher, they made sure that it was cooked by a Jew. It made sense to Rav Moshe, but in fact it's not true. Because if you see a Star K or an OU on a potato chips, you do not have any reason to assume that these were Bishul Yisrael. Because they hold that potato chips are not problematic even if they are Bishul Akum. I don't know. If you see potato chips with the K-A-J Hashkacha, Breuer's Hashkacha, then you can assume that not only is that oil pristine and pure, but that even the ingredients, even the Bishul was done somehow by a Jew. Now, this is a perfect segue for our next set of shiurim, which will be our final, ultimately, set of shiurim on Bishul Akum. Namely, everything we've done until now is the details, the parameters, the leniencies, the stringencies, but they're all assuming that a non-Jew cooked the food. The question is, not every food that they cook is usher, not every type of way they cook is usher. But now we're ready for our last piece of the puzzle, which is, what if it's not Bishul Akum exclusively? What if it's not just a non-Jew cooking, but the Jew participated in the process? And of course the question will be, how significant a contribution does a Jew have to make? Does it have to be at the beginning, right? We're familiar with the concept of you turn on the oven. So on the one hand, you didn't contribute at all. It's before the food was ever even done. On the other hand, it was at the outset. What if it's not at the outset, but the non-Jew starts off a little bit, and the question will be how much? And then the Jew finishes. Is that okay? Right, we'll discuss, I mentioned to you, these heating lamps that some use, remote control devices, lezachen. There's a very, very important, very, very important discussions. Again, in some cases, in people's own homes. Again, there, the easiest thing is the burner trick. But the question is, where did that come from? We'll learn about where that comes from. And then, certainly, restaurants, again, are a major issue. And I hope that, based on whatever conclusions we reach, it won't in any way inhibit our own choice of restaurants locally. Which may rely on certain heterim, which I think are questionable. But whatever, we'll cross that controversial bridge or fall off that bridge when we come to that. Okay. Erev Tov.